Praise God. Do you love him?
Amen.
Yes. Glory. How's your mind? How's your mind? Is it busy like a battlefield? Or is it like the sea that's calm, reflecting the light that beams on it? Hallelujah. Jesus says, peace I give unto you. My peace give I unto you. Not the peace that the world gives, but his peace, perfect peace. Peace in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of adversity. Peace when everything is going wrong. You know why we can have peace when everything is going wrong? Anybody want to take a shot at it and tell me why we can have peace when everything is going wrong? Praise God. There's nothing wrong with what you said. Our God is in control. Therefore, we can have peace. But one thing we know is that all things work together for our good.
Come on.
Because we love God. And we are the called according to his purpose.
Glory.
So all things work together for good. So I know I can have peace in the midst of this storm, because this storm is going to work for my good.
Hallelujah.
I know I can have peace when I get some bad news, because I know this bad news is going to work together for my good. Because bad news don't put me out of the call of God. I'm still the called. And I still love him. You fall out of love with God, boy, you just lost out on your greatest love. We love him, and we are the called according to his purpose. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God, heirs and joint heirs with Jesus, kings and priests unto our Heavenly Father. Things have to work together for our good. We're not the heathen or the ungodly. We once were. We once were darkness, but now we are light. So everything's got to work together for my good. How about your good? Everything's got to work together for my good. How about your good? Everything. So I can have peace in the midst of the storm. Storms come, but storms pass. Everything works together for my good. Hallelujah. Can I have a my iPad, and then you can go ahead and put that up there, Deacon Posada. Thank you. Y'all ready? Jesus. Go ahead and give your neighbor a high five. Tell them it's wonderful to see them. Why don't you even speak and pronounce a blessing over them? Hallelujah. Just if nothing else, I bless you in the name of the Lord. I bless you in the name of my God. I speak over your life, everything is working together for your good. I speak over you that you're more blessed now by coming in than you will be going out. Let me rephrase that. You're blessed more by coming in than you were not having come in at all. That's a better way to put it. Glory. And we know that to them that love God, all things work together for good. Even to them that are called according to, for whom he foreknew, he also foreordained to be conformed to the image and likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Say family. God wanted a family. Hallelujah. And we are part of his family. In whom he foreordained, them he also called. In whom he called, them he also justified. In whom he justified, them he also glorified. All things, everything is employed to work together for your good. Everything in this present life, hallelujah. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Hallelujah. So all of this has got to work together for your good. So you can have peace in the midst of trouble, trials, storms. When the disciples came and disturbed Jesus' peace while he was down in the boat. You can be seated if you need to. While he was down there asleep, sound asleep. I don't know if Jesus snored while he was here on earth. But if he did, it didn't take him out of the will of the Father. But he was sleeping. And the disciples were panicking. And they came to him and said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? And Jesus got up and rebuked them. Oh, ye of little faith. I said, let's go to the other side. That's where I intend to go. But a little bit of wind, a little bit of waves and water in the boat caused the disciples to panic. Now, if I was in that boat, I probably would have panicked too. I've been out on the sea. I've been out there to Pacifica. I never want to go out there again. Why not? Because we got out there and the winds were rough and the waves were boisterous and we were on a big old boat and the waves were so high that when we would go up, we could see everything out there, and then when we could go down, we seen nothing but water. And we would go up and we would go down and we would go up and we would go down and we would see other boats out there and we would see them and then we wouldn't see them and then we would see them and we wouldn't see them and the waters were rough. And I said, I'm not going out there no more. We didn't catch anything. That's the worst. It'd have been something if we'd have caught some fish, but we caught nothing. Guys were throwing up. Who wants to be around that? Puking everywhere. And then we got one guy that's on the boat drunk. And he's out at the helm of the boat while we're going back to land, and the waves are coming in, and he's just, rah! The water knocks him over. He hits his head on something, and he's bleeding, but he's, rah! Like, man, get on in here. If my mother was alive and she saw me doing something like that, she'd do one of these, Henry, Aaron, get yourself. We got talked to when we got whoopings. Got the whole message. You guys probably don't know much about that. Okay. Didn't I tell you not to do? Yeah. You only need about one of them. If you have to get more than one of them, it's because you really got some problems. They had a fixed ADD back in. That's probably why none of us had ADD. They probably. ADD was scared of our parents. Praise God. All that stuff was scared of our parents in those days. I didn't have to get too many whoopings, I saw. would happen before me. It's a blessing of being the youngest. You do that, you get. Praise God. All things, everything, rejection works together for your good. A good firing from a job works together for your good. You go to work excited to get to work. Later on in the day, you find out that's your last day of work there. Even that'll work together for your good. We have the right mindset and hold fast to the word of God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Not having enough will work together for your good if you handle it right. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. So, why is it that the believer can have peace in the midst of a storm and adversity? Because he trusts in the Lord. Okay. He holds fast to God's prophetic. Brother Rocky can brought one of them. Hold fast to God's prophetic word and he trusts in him. Hallelujah. Jesus is not a liar. Jesus said, don't worry. Hallelujah. He always comes through right on time. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why is it that we can have peace in the midst of the storm? Come on, Sister Sharon. That's all I said. That's you see how well we listen? It's not a bad thing. It's not a bad thing. But if we're not careful, Jesus said this in Mark chapter 4, around verse 25. He says, be careful how you hear, for the measure that you hear with, it's going to come back to you. Be careful how you hear. That same measure, let me read it to you from the Amplified. Excuse me just 1 minute while I make the adjustments of this. And then we'll get to tonight's word and offering. Can I get a couple of offering baskets, gentlemen? For the measure you meet, it will be measured back to you, and more will be given also. I want to read it to you from the Amplified. It's Mark chapter 4, about verse 25 in there. 24, thank you. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you who hear. For to him who has will more be given, and from him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away by force. So hearing is important for us as believers. Amen. Something comes by hearing. Anybody want to tell me what that is? Oh, thank you, Deacon Patton. Faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For the measure of thought and study you give to what you hear is the measure of virtue and knowledge that shall come back to you. Hallelujah. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Let's go ahead and take an opportunity to come and worship the Father with our giving. And as you're doing that, for those of you who have not picked up your giving reports, we do have them. They're not back there at the table, but we do have them here. So if you didn't get yours on Sunday, you can pick them up tonight. Just let one of the ushers know, and they're down in the multi-purpose room, and we'll get that to you. If you have yours, as I said before, if you see something and it doesn't look right, just bring it back, and we'll look it over and make corrections as necessary, if necessary. Amen? All right. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So everybody that wants to come and give and honor the Lord with their giving, why don't you take this moment right now? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We've been sharing with you in this month on Wednesday nights about the tongue and the power of the tongue. You know, the tongue can get us in a place of blessing, or it can get us in a lot of trouble. And we have to be careful of what we say, even as well as what we hear. It's something how God deals with us as his sons and daughters. He wants to change everything about us to reflect his glory, his honor. James chapter 3, verse 5 out of the Message translation says this: a word out of your mouth may seem of no account, but it can accomplish nearly anything or destroy it. And we have to decide within ourselves, because God gives us the choice. He sets before us death and life. He sets before us good and evil. And he gives us the choice. And so we have a choice of how we're going to live our lives. And, you know, we can speak death to a situation, or we can speak life to a situation. We can speak blessing to a situation, and we can speak a curse to a situation, but the choice is ours, and we want to choose our words wisely. There's no taming of the tongue to make it, you know, just do right, because it'll act up in the moment. But we know that from the word of God and from what Jesus says, it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. So whatever's bubbling up in our hearts is what will come out of our mouths. But we still have that choice in whether we're going to speak death or whether we're going to speak life to a situation, whether we're going to speak good or evil, whether we're going to speak a blessing or a cursing. I don't know anybody in their right mind that's a believer that wants to see evil or bad happen in people's lives. We all should want to see the best for every believer, including ourselves, but especially in others, because the word encourages us to esteem one another higher than we do ourselves. So if we want to be blessed, then we want our brothers and sisters to be blessed even more. And to speak and release that over their lives, not flattery or undeserved compliments and things like that, or going overboard with compliments and things like that, more than the situation calls for. Not that kind of stuff, but just out of the sincerity of the heart, speaking a blessing over somebody's life. Releasing life and not death. I'm trying to remember where I wrote that at, but in one passage of scripture, Jesus said this. He said, I might have it here. John chapter 12, let's go there. This is just a side trip, but we're still on the road of the tongue. John chapter 12. Let's begin with verse 44. When you get there, say amen. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Tonight, I'll be taught the word of God. I boldly confess. My mind is alert. My heart is receptive. I will never be the same. I am about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I will never be the same. Never, never, never. I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Boy, that was a good seed that John Osteen sold into his son, and he still carries it on today. John chapter 12, verse 44, Jesus cried and said, now, when it says Jesus cried, it doesn't mean that he just started bursting out in tears. But it says, Jesus, Amplified says, loudly declared, which means that at one time he probably was speaking, but now he's speaking loud so that everybody could hear him. He's got something important to say. He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. He said it loud. Just like he did in John chapter 7, verse 37. If any man thirst. So for people who don't think you ought to get loud, they need to really read the word of God. Just too loud. You don't even want to be around Jesus, let alone go to heaven. Heaven gonna blow your mind. Okay. He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever, say I'm a whosoever, I am a whosoever, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. That right there would upset a lot of people, because we justify the darkness in our lives by saying Jesus did it all for us on the cross. So therefore, even if we remain in darkness, we're okay because Jesus did it all. And if we come out into the light, then we're justifying ourselves by our works. Verse 47, this is the key verse that I wanted to get to. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. I want you to listen to something that came across this morning just in my daily time of spending time with the Father and reading. And how many of you heard of Oswald Chambers? Okay, one, two, three. Okay, just one, two, three, and obviously four. Oswald Chambers, he was a man who lived in the mid-1800s, died early 1900s. Born and raised, I believe, in Scotland, and only lived 43 years on this earth. Got saved, I don't know if he was about 17 or something like that, early on, but then was called to ministry. And he was around long enough to experience the Azusa revival. I don't know whether it was at that point when he got baptized in the Holy Ghost or before then, because the Holy Ghost was just breaking out in pockets all over. But it was through William Joseph Seymour that God just caused a wildfire to just spread across the nation and then around the world. But anyways, Oswald Chambers wrote a few books, and one of the books is called My Utmost for His Highest. And to translate that, it simply means I give my best for his glory. And so one of the things he did was he wrote a devotional, and it's very popular. Many people have read it throughout the body of Christ. And I've known about his devotional for a long time. I think I might have come across a couple of his daily readings, but haven't read the book through. But anyways, on this 30-day venture with just some of his daily devotions, and in this, today, I read it, and I'm like, wow, praise God. It's good to be in the company of brethren that spend time in the presence of God, because the Spirit will speak the same thing. Maybe not necessarily in the same words, but basically the same thing. And so this morning as I was reading, it really just hit my heart, and I'm like, amen, let me share it with the body of Christ, the people of God that come out tonight. And he says this: we are not saved only to be instruments for God, but to be his sons and daughters. Hallelujah. Ring a bell. Ding, 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 ding. We are his sons and daughters. We are God's offspring. Oh, tell me something new. No, we need to get the full revelation of that. We need to keep on pressing until all of a sudden we really do come into sonship and daughtership, if you will. Hallelujah. We can't just live off a mental ascent of what we know. It has to be revealed. The veil has to be removed, and the reality of who we are come forth. You know, we believe in Jesus, but our allegiance is not completely to Jesus. Our allegiance is in different places. It just depends. We'll only go so far with the Lord. We'll go as far as either society sets limits, or we'll go as far as we're comfortable. But as sons, Jesus held back nothing from the Father. He only spoke what the Father gave him to speak. He only did what the Father gave him to do. And that's what God desires out of sons and daughters, not robots. Jesus willingly did this. When he was on the cross, or when when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane and the soldiers were coming along with Judas to get him, Jesus could have at that moment just called forth the legion of angels and just wiped them all out. When they said, you know, come down from that cross, Jesus could have came down from that cross. He could have healed himself, got down off that cross, and just said, you know, just forget everybody. I'll just enjoy eternity. He had that choice. When he was in the garden, and people have different explanations of, my God, you know, Lord, Father, if there's any other way, let it be. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will. And some will go into, see, he was so human. He was 100% man, but also 100% God. But he let us know that even in his humanity, still, Father, if this is the only way that it'll be done, Jesus already knew that was the only way that it could be done. But that we might identify with him. When we come into situations or circumstances, if there's any other way, God says, this is the way. It may bring on pressure. It may bring on opposition. It may bring on rejection. It may bring on abandonment. Because all of them were like, Lord, I'm with you, Peter. I'm with you, Lord. Even if I have to die with you, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. And all the other disciples are saying, yeah, Lord, we're with you. We're with you. We're with you. And he says, this night all of you shall be made to scatter. And their words of, I'm with you. I'll never leave you. Took off and left our Savior alone. But he said, nevertheless, not my will be done. He had the choice, but he says, not my will. Now we'll get up to things or be faced with something, and we won't say, not my will. We'll say, my will be done and not yours. Every time we face a, that's not to make us feel bad. It's just a truth that we need to face and confront because we haven't got the full revelation that we're sons and daughters. We're his offspring. Daddy has no plans of destroying us. So Jesus in the garden said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. He says this, Oswald. He does not turn us into spiritual agents, but into spiritual messengers. And the message must be part of us. The Son of God was his own message. He said, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. As his disciples, our lives must be a holy example of the reality of our message. We have to embrace the message that God has given us. He goes a little bit deeper. Even the natural heart of the unsaved will serve if called upon to do so. But it takes a heart broken by the conviction of sin, baptized by the Holy Spirit, and crushed into submission to God's purpose to make a person's life a holy example of God's message. That's not a popular thing, but it's the right thing. It's what's called of us as sons. Jesus said concerning Paul, and he also told Peter, he says, right now, to Peter, right now you're going everywhere you want to go, doing whatever you want to do. But there's going to come a time where you will be taken where you don't want to go, and you'll have to do what you don't want to do. And as the writer says, speaking of what kind of death, he was going to die. But he told Paul, or told Ananias, you know, go to him and anoint him. Because I have chosen him. He is a chosen vessel of mine to suffer for my name's sake. Suffering is not a popular message because we already endure hardships and go through difficult things in life as it is. And then you talk about suffering. Nobody wants to hear that. We want to hear about being blessed and being prosperous. Jesus talks about that too. He says, no man who gives up everything, if he will, and then he lists some of the most important things in our lives that we would value. He lists some of the most key areas of things that are most important to us. And he says, no man who gives up these things for my sake and the gospel, or anyone who gives up this, shall receive a hundredfold of all that he gives up now in this time with persecution. Father wants us to be blessed. Hallelujah. But the blessing ain't going to stop the persecution. The blessing is not going to, I just want to be blessed. I just want to be happy. You know how many Christians want to be happy? I just want to be happy. You can have the joy of the Lord, but everything don't have to make you happy in life. Happy is a result of something that happens, and sometimes bad things happen. But you can still have joy. And you can still have peace. Why? Because even the bad stuff got to work together for your good. You just can't be caught up in the bad. Hallelujah. Because there's a sowing and a reaping principle. If we sow, we're going to reap. But if we haven't sown that, if we sow righteousness and then bad comes, bad's got to work together for our good. Devil, you might take this, but you're going to have to restore sevenfold. Why? Because I haven't been sowing into what you're doing. That's better than what you've responded. I haven't been sowing into your realm. I haven't been sowing into darkness. I've been sowing into light. So if you do something with my sowing of righteousness, it's got to work together for my good. But now if I'm sowing in darkness, you got free realm and free access to me because I've come from underneath my covering and my protection. I'm fair game for you. You can knock me out of the saddle. What happened to so-and-so? We don't sow into darkness no more because we're not darkness. We're sons and daughters of the Most High God. We sold to ourselves in righteousness. Fallow ground must be broken up. Hallelujah. This is better than your response, but I still got 12 more minutes of your time. Okay, so he says, and I want to read this again. Listen to this. Even the natural heart of the unsaved will serve. So, you know, I can't recall exactly, but it's like when we simply do our reasonable service, it's not anything to really brag or boast about as if we've done something. Because if what we've done is something that the ungodly can do, there's nothing to brag or boast about. Do something that the ungodly cannot do. Hallelujah. So he says here, even the unsaved or the unregenerated heart, even the ungodly, if you will, or the natural heart of the unsaved will serve if called upon to do so. You know, we can feed the poor. Now, don't misunderstand me. This is a good and a noble thing. We can feed the poor, but so can the ungodly. We can open up a homeless shelter, but so can the ungodly. But what we do in that homeless shelter, the ungodly can't do. Jesus. There's got to be something different about us because we're sons and daughters of God. We're his offspring. We're not trying to be. We're not trying to grow up to one day be. We are now. Now, if we behave like children of darkness, Belial, if you will, worthless, then we're going to reap what we're sowing. And we're light playing around with darkness. And therefore, the enemy has fair game. And there's no repercussions for the enemy's sake. If we play with the devil and the devil takes something away from us, don't go around saying, he got to restore sevenfold. He ain't got to restore nothing because we came out on his territory and playing his game and he won. He don't lose when you're playing in his arena. You know what I mean by that? He loses when we remain the light. As John says, we are the light and we have fellowship with one another And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And so as we're doing what is right and pleasing in the eyesight of God, and the devil comes in and tries to do something, if the thief be found, he's got to restore sevenfold. So we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. We don't conduct ourselves the way the ungodly do. That's not what God is expecting out of us. We don't behave ourselves like, you know, we did before we got born again. We grow as sons and daughters of the Most High God, but we don't make excuse and try and play like we did before we came to Him. Moving on. But it takes the heart broken by the conviction of sin. You don't hear this kind of stuff too much. Baptized by the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost and crushed into submission to God's purpose to make a person's life a holy example of God's message. There's a difference between giving a testimony and preaching. A preacher is someone who has received the call of God and is determined to use all his energy to proclaim God's truth. God takes us beyond our own aspirations and ideas for our lives and molds and shapes us for his purpose. You know, and mind you, not everybody's going to be fivefold ministry, but we're all ministers of the gospel to some level and capacity as sons and daughters of the Most High God. But there was a day and time where businessmen and attorneys and, you know, men of renown and men who had wealth that abandoned those things because they found about the true riches in Christ Jesus. And now we have sons and daughters of God that do just the opposite because they see no value in this word here. Don't nobody go to bondage. Don't nobody go to Egypt. No, don't nobody feel condemned. I'm just saying that was the trend. Men, God got a hold of them. And they, like Jesus said, you know, when they found that field, they went and sold all that they had and got rid of it so that they can get this precious pearl, get this field, if you will. They valued sonship. They valued. I shared with you about John G. Lake. John G. Lake felt like it was a slap in the face of Jesus to go to the doctor when he knew that Jesus was his healer. He watched his children die and said, I will trust God. If God doesn't raise him up, I'm not going to take him to man. I'm not going to do that kind of a disrespect to my God. That's the conviction. He lived as a son of God. Some of his children died, but he healed so many. Why didn't God heal his son? Don't know, but I know his son is in glory, and I know John is with him right now, and I know it doesn't matter that he went home early. What matters is all those people that John brought with him. Ah! Because we're living as sons of God and not just this temporary 70 years or 80 years or however many years we're here on this earth as if this is all that matters in life. This is not all that matters. That's why we don't live like the ungodly, because the ungodly live like this is it. Like there ain't nothing better. There ain't nothing else. No, we got eternity on the inside of us to spend the rest of our days with the one true and living God. Hallelujah. They turned their backs on the world and ran for Jesus. And for many in the body of Christ, we do just the opposite. Because we still want the world. God wants the souls, and we want the world. But the world is under the influence of Satan. Satan, the prince of the power of the air. He controls the atmosphere. He controls the minds of men. He controls governing authorities, if you will. He's over nations now, and it's spreading more and more. You hear a lot about people, you know, even in the body of Christ, we want to make the world a better place. We want to make the world a better place. We sound like the woman on Miss Universe. What do you want to do? I just want world peace. And we buy into that, trying to make the world a better place. As long as there's a devil loose, the world ain't going to be no better place. Jesus has already told us it's going to get worse and worse and worse for the world, not for you. Judgment has passed over you, but it's going to get worse in the world. Men, lovers of themselves, they already are selfish. I was listening to this seminar today on frames, and they were talking about different subjects and all, and one of the things that they talked about towards the end was narcissism. Narcissism has spread like cancer. What is it all about? It's all about the individual. You see it when, because, and please don't misunderstand what I'm about to say, but see, this is about us becoming one with the message. And if we're one with the message, everywhere we go and all that we do is going to speak of the message. But if we're one way here and then we're another way out there, it's like trying to live a double standard and a double life, and it don't measure up to anything, and Satan don't have no respect for you, and God looks at you like, wake up to who you are. You are a child and daughter of the Most High God. You have no right to complain. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell in it. Your God is, your Father is God. And so he said, it's narcissism. He asked over 50-plus students, young students, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they said, well, I want to be a rapper. I want to be a model. I want to be a, what was the other sister, Kay? I want to be a doctor, lawyer. And then, you know, and then I think there might have been another field. Athlete. I want to be an athlete. Why? Because I want to be rich and famous, or both? Because that's all that they see, the bling, the bling, the bling. And society, the culture itself, breeds narcissism. And he says that's why many people put the stuff out there on these social media networks, because they want to be seen, they want to be recognized, they want to be, you know, this is me. You know, nobody want to see all that you into. But it's like some people want to be noticed and recognized, and they're looking for their moment in the spotlight. I used to do something when I was young. I used to think something, and now when it happens, I'm reminded of it. Anybody ever drove a car for the first time? Okay. You ever had to turn a left turn at a red light? That used to always cause me to get nervous. Because I was always nervous that I might turn too sharp or too wide and either run up on the curve or hit the other car in that lane that's going that way. And then, I don't know how it changed, but all of a sudden, it was like Miss, they didn't have no pageants for men, I guess. Mr. Universe.
Arnold.
You know. But anyway, it's like, you know, now when you go, hey, it's me making a left turn, and then drive on. You got to get with me. Come on. So now, every time I get in an intersection, I chuckle to myself. Not every time, I'd be lying. But when it comes, I chuckle because I'm making this left turn, and it's like, you see me making this left turn? It may not make sense to you, but some of you can run with it. But that's how we are. We want to be noticed, want to be recognized. Hey, it's me. And this is the thing. What he said was, is I want all of you guys to do a selfie, because selfie has become, and selfie is now going into Webster's Dictionary.
selfie is when you take a picture of yourself. I want everybody to do a selfie, and I want you to have this expression on your face as if you're disappointed about something, like you're upset about something, like something just went wrong. So you take the selfie, and then you post it out there like you do all the other things. And then when everybody calls you up to say, oh, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong, then you can, you know, take advantage of that spotlight, if you will. But he talked about narcissism. Narcissism is where it's all about me. Everything is about me. Me, me, me. And it's the time that we live in now. And Christians have to be aware of that. He said, pastors need to start having sermons about social media in the sense of teaching how to properly utilize that, because that's the direction that the world has gone in. And if we're going to communicate with them, it's going to have to be one of those means, because that's what they're doing. Everybody's got a smartphone. Everybody spends more and more time on the smartphone. You can't even, you know, go to a dinner, or, you know, you can't enjoy an evening with your loved one because you got to pull out that smartphone just in case somebody sent you an email. Somebody might have put something on Facebook. Somebody might have did Twitter or something like that. And you want to see, you want to be updated to the latest thing that's happening. So families are, you know, the kids are in there on theirs, parents over in there and theirs, and, you know. But we got to find out how to get things right. So what he was saying was getting the gospel out there. But what I'm saying is this, is what Oswald was saying, is that we got to be one with our message. So the same person we are in here, that's the person we need to be out on Facebook. Amen. Just like we're praising here at this altar, It show forth that praise on Facebook, and show forth that praise on Twitter, and show forth that praise on, you know, being one with the Jesus. It says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, in John chapter 1 verse 14. And that's how we have to be, one with the message. The word becomes flesh in us. We become that living epistle, if you will. We become the living letter. We are the body of Christ, and we become the pages of God's book for men to see and read. That even without opening our mouths, they can look at our lives and read the gospel. Every parent goes through pain when their children don't do what's right. When they get up in age and they're out there and they do things and they mess up, it hurts the parent. And it's the same with us and our Father. If we don't represent him, if we don't do what's right, it hurts him. He's got feelings. And we don't want to hurt him. Let me read this and then I'll let you go. I'm almost done. It's not that long. He says, there's a difference in the testimony. A preacher is one who's received a call, dot, dot, dot. God takes us beyond our own aspirations and ideas for our lives and molds and shapes us for his purpose. That's what he's doing with us, molding and shaping us for his purpose and for his glory, just as he worked in the disciples' lives after Pentecost. Listen, the purpose of Pentecost was not to teach the disciples something, but to make them the incarnation of what they preached, so that they would literally become God's message in the flesh. Isn't that good? That's rich. Hallelujah. And he wants to do the same thing with us as his sons and daughters. Make that word become flesh in us. Hallelujah. Therefore, he says, you shall be witnesses to me. Allow God to have complete liberty in your life when you speak. Bring it back to the tongue. And this is all what Oswald had in the daily devotion for today. Before God's message can liberate other people, his liberation must first be real in you. Gather your material carefully, and then allow God to set your words on fire for his glory. Stand to your feet and get a Lord a hand of praise. Thank you for the extra 6 minutes. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Come on, that's good. That's good. That's good. That's good. Praise God. Hallelujah. Don't walk out of here like that was just another, you know, just another. No, walk out of here like, you know, yeah, my spirit is fed. I am lit. Hallelujah. God, I want you to do this in me. I want the word to become incarnate. I be the living word. Hallelujah. Baptize my attitude. Baptize my emotions. Baptize my entire body, spirit, soul, and body in the power of your Holy Ghost. Baptize me afresh, fresh fire. Set your word on fire on the inside of me like you did with Jeremiah. Huh. Come on, yeah, cry out for it. Cry out for it. Cry. Somebody cry out for it. Amen, amen. You have to leave, I understand, but somebody cry out for it. Pray, God, let your word become incarnate. Let your word, let me become one with your word. May you consume me. We sing that song. Consume me with your fire. Consume me with your word. Consume my mind. Consume my thoughts. Consume my words. Consume this body, Lord God. Set my words on fire. Let it burn, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Burn away the dross. Burn away the chaff. Burn away the junk, the filth. Burn away the desires and the ambitions that go away from the path that you're leading me on. Lord, let there be no interference. I am yours and you are mine. And your banner over me is love, 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 love. Hallelujah. Yerubaka shinda labo sok rebaha. Ramadadaba siyalaba kondaralia sharabako. Reke kirela mahanda de aseke rebako. Roba shinka rabaha. Irendo lobo shanda de asikarabako. Broko kuraba tandale osuruma. Ah, mohonda lalaba siyalabako. Oh, yeah, Lord God. Ram re son do re kande. Rendala hosi kandara masike. Gondale esikaranama kondala isike. Relobasai amanahi karanabake. Ah, Jesus, Jesus. Hurrabako hondara labasika. Yendara labakondara labako. Urabako ndara labasika labako. Urabako bababaka tarabako. Rebaba, take away everything that's not of you. Take away everything that's not like a, not like you. Remove it, oh God. Remasha, I release it. Redo riaba shikara labako hurabaha. Reshika bababako hurabako hu. Reshuko raha. Reba handale yasundale yaka. Hallelujah, Jesus. Consume me with your fire, Lord God. Oh, consume me with your fire, Father. Let my heart's desire burn for you. Handele osiki. Handele osidana mandele eko dalalabasika lalabaku. Circumcise my lips. Circumcise my tongue. Remove every callous thing from my heart, Lord God. Let there be no hardness. Let there be no bitterness. Let there be no anger and no resentment. Resentment, I cast that off. I cast that away. Oh, Rabba Shikaraba Kondarahe. Redo Bahashikaramaho. Yes, Jesus. Ah. Come on, Holy Ghost, have your way. Sanctify my body. Sanctify me, my whole spirit, soul, and body. Be blameless at your coming. That we grow in sonship. We grow daughters of the Most High God. Daughters of the Most High God. Sons of the Most High God. Sons of the Most High God. Men of God. Women of God. Called for the glory of God. We are your offspring, O God. Reshota Rabaka. We are your seed in the earth, and we declare everything works together for our good. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you for favor. Thank you for the uncommon favor. Thank you for that special favor, Lord God. That favor, favor with you and favor with mankind. Favor, Lord God, that makes my enemy to be at peace with me. Favor, Lord God, that causes men to bless me. Favor, Lord God, that causes me to be able to bless others. Favor. Baptize us, Lord God, in your love. Baptize us, immerse us in pure love, agape love. We're getting ready to come into this month, Lord God, and many celebrated as they look forward to that day of Valentine's to share with their loved one. Oh God, but Lord, we share it with you. You are our loved one, and we know that you love us, Lord God. So may we be baptized afresh in your love. Love for you, love for mankind. Hallelujah. Oh God. I cover everyone in the precious blood of the Lamb. I cover your sons and daughters of the great I Am. I cover them in the precious blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That blood that speaks in your very presence, grace and truth, forgiveness, mercy. That blood that speaks salvation and healing, deliverance from the evil one. That blood, Lord God, that you respect and you regard as the payment for our sin debt, our redemption, Lord God. I plead that blood over all of our lives, Father, those that were here and those that were not here tonight, Lord God. I cover the family of Threshing Floor Tabernacle and the precious blood of the Lamb, and that it spreads throughout the body of Christ, Lord God, that you're able to do an awesome work in our day and time. Thank you for revival. Thank you for renewal. Thank you for the refreshing that comes from your presence and what you're doing. Thank you, Father God, for the manifestations that you've been doing in the lives of people. Thank you, Father God, for everything that you are doing, confirming your covenant, confirming your word, confirming truth, confirming that you are with us. Thank you. Keep your sons and daughters. And the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household that he might bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and that above all else you can prosper, and you will prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers, that things are being changed and working out in your favor even right now for the glory of God. Hallelujah. Eyes have not seen, neither have ears heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them by way of the Holy Ghost. And what he has revealed, he is also able to perform. And it is done in Jesus' name. So now, Father, bless your people. Bless them. Heal Sister Bernice Wallace of what she's dealing with. Heal, Lord God, Sister Maria and what she's dealing with. Father God, heal those that are sick in this body, that are battling with the flu or battling with colds or battling with any type of sickness and affliction on their physical bodies. Lord, let your healing power and virtue flow in this place. We rebuke sickness. In the name of Jesus, we send you back. We send you back to outer darkness. We send you back to your source. We send you back to the enemy's camp. Get out of the child of God's life. Get out of their physical body in Jesus' name. Go to outer darkness and do not return in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we cover your children in the blood by the stripes of Jesus Christ. They are healed. We give you all the glory and the honor and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name. And everybody who agreed said amen.